Our hearts and our minds are open to your word, dear Jesus. We receive your word with gladness of heart.
Yes, in the name of Jesus Christ.
Our mind comprehend the reality of your word and walk in the light of it. We exercise our authority as believers every day in the name of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Your Bibles? Matthew 28. Quickly. Matthew chapter number 28. Matthew 28. Are you with your Bible? Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." This thing is echoing so much. Hallelujah. Amen. Can you hear me? Okay. So, we said Matthew 28:18-20 will be Jesus' summary. Matthew's summary of what Jesus instructed them in the 40 days. Was that what we said? That was what we said. Hallelujah. We also said that Matthew focused on the discipleship aspect of that instruction. He focused on that discipleship aspect. He said, go make disciples. Go make disciples. Amen. God be to God. Amen.
Glory to God.
Okay, let's continue. Okay. So it says go make disciples. Hallelujah. So we said he's focused on the discipleship aspect of it. Of that instruction that Jesus gave in 40 days. Now, if you look at Mark's account, Mark 16 from verse 15, look at Mark's account. We looked at that the other time. Mark was focused on, he said, go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. He who believes not shall be dead. He said, these signs shall accompany them who believe. Mark's summary will be focused on the process of making that disciples. Yes, and it's focused on the process of how that man became a disciple. Hallelujah. And we looked at it and we said, both how you make that one a disciple and how what actually is taught in that discipleship is the same message. Hallelujah. It's the same message. So Mark will say go, he's going to the word and preach. He uses the word preach. Preach, that word preach is the Greek word keruso, which means to announce, to herald. We said that, right? To shout. It's the word keruso. Amen. Amen. And we say that word keruso is from the noun keruma, which implies the message itself, the context of the keruso. You know that is the keruma. Amen. So we say the word keruso, when it is used in scriptures, has its keruma. Meaning, when you use the word to arouse, like the way a town crier will arouse an information, it says in that shouting, in that shout, there is a message. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, we say in that shout, there is a message. So we say it is that message that saved a man, or that saves men. Is that message, the message that saves men. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. So it is the message preached. It is the keruma keruso that saves men. It is the keruma preached that saves men. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I remember we said what will be preached will be the same thing that will be taught in discipleship.
Hallelujah. It's the same thing.
Hallelujah. It will be the same thing. So the question will now be, what is the message? What is the message? What is the kerygma of scriptures? You understand? What is the message of scriptures? Because that is what will be preached. The message of scripture will be preached. We looked at Romans 16, which we're just doing a little summary. Romans 16, right? Was that what we looked at? Romans 16:26. But now is made manifest by the prophetic scripture made known to all nations according to the commandment of the everlasting God, for the obedience of faith. To God alone be wise through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So verse 25. Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ. So the kerygma of the scripture is Jesus Christ, the message of Christ, the message concerning Christ. Hallelujah. In 1 Corinthians 15 verse 14. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 14. It says, and if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty. So the message is what? The risen Christ. The resurrection of Christ. Hallelujah. Did you get me? The message of scripture is the resurrection of Christ. Luke 24:25. O fools, as though of heart to believe in all the prophets that said, all not the Christ, and somebody said, and said, he said, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scripture of the things concerning himself. What will he be teaching them concerning himself? Ought not the Christ to have suffered and to enter into his glory, the resurrection. Do you understand? So the message of scripture is the resurrection from the dead. Is the resurrection from the dead. The entering into the glory. So the meaning of scripture will be what? The resurrection from the dead. It is life from the dead. Do you understand? The message of scripture is what? Life from the dead. The resurrection from the dead of Christ. Hallelujah. And what does this imply? That resurrection implies what? Salvation for men. Do you understand me? So this is why Paul would now tell Timothy, a pastor, he said, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. Now, verse 15, he says, from a child who has known the Holy Spirit, able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Do you understand? So, salvation is the key point. So, the resurrection of Christ is because of salvation. So, salvation is possible because of Christ resurrected. Amen. 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 So, the message of scripture is the resurrection that saves the man. So is the resurrection, or let me put it this way, is the resurrection that saves the man. Right? Right? So what is the man's response to that resurrection? Through faith, he believes in the resurrection of Christ. Hallelujah. So that response of a man's faith to what Christ has done is what saves the man. You understand me? Amen. So, Christ's resurrection makes salvation possible. When a man now reacts by believing in that resurrection, the man is saved. Do you get that? Glory to God. So that is why Paul will now say in Romans 10:9-10, say with the heart man believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. He said, you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, say you are saved. Hallelujah. You believe in your heart the Lord Jesus and confess with your mouth that God raised him from the dead, then you shall be saved. You understand that? Hallelujah. So, what we confess is what we have believed. So the believing is very important by the response of my faith. Amen. Amen. So, that's it. It is good to understand the fact that it is, first of all, it's the message that saved. That's what the church said. So any addition, any trying to add to this is what bears false brethren. Do you understand? Who can be tagged false brethren? Any addition to this.
Amen. Amen. Glory to God.
We're going to get see examples from scriptures. Now look at Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. You know, some people say, I'm born again because I want God to meet my needs. I want God to give me a good job.
You know that, that when I'm born again, I also when I'm born again, my life will be better. There will be no trouble. Are you hearing me? So that's not because a condition attached to their belief.
Are you following me? So when things don't now get better in the natural, they now see they are no longer born again.
Yes, sir. So you know those additions, it might look salient sometimes, but you know this best false belief. Amen. Amen. Remember I said we're going to delve into this not today, but subsequently.
Hallelujah. Subsequently, we're going to look at this. Amen. Amen. I was open to Galatians 2 verse 4. Look at what Paul says to the church at Galatia. Okay. Look at verse 4. It says, and this occurred because of false brethren secretly brought in who came in by stealth to spy out our liberty which we have in Christ Jesus, that we might that they might bring us to bondage. He calls those, look at what he calls them. He says, and this occurred because of false brethren. What occurred? You have to start from verse 1 to look at that very well. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's start from verse 1 into 4. It said, after 14 years, I went up to Jerusalem, and with Barnabas, and also took Titus with me. And I went up by revelation and communicated to them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately, those who were of reputation, lest by any means I might run or had run in vain. Yet not even Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. He then said, and this occurred because, now, that occurred because of false brethren. This occurred because of false brethren secretly brought in. Now, he went ahead to explain who those false brethren are. They will always add. Are you hearing me? They will always add. Glory to God. So Paul called those who add to the faith. Who add to the faith, he calls them false brethren. False brethren. Who add.
We'll get another example again in Acts of Apostles chapter 15.
Look at Acts 15. Look at Acts 15 from verse 1. Say, and certain men came down from Judea and taught the brethren. What did they teach the brethren? They said, unless you are circumcised, according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. Did you see this? He said, except you are circumcised, according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. Now look at what happened. Look at verse 2. Therefore, when Paul and Barnabas had no small dispute with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain others of them should go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and elders about this question. Did you see that? Hallelujah. They had, you know, doctrinal issues are solved, I'll say it here, doctrinal issues are solved by the ministry gift. So they took peace to the ministry gift. We'll get to look at that in the course of this teaching. Hallelujah. But Take a note of this. These guys, their message is, you must be circumcised by Moses' law. If not, you are not saved. You know, quickly, you can easily just point out and say, false doctrine, right? Because we know it's by faith, we are saying it's by circumcision. Do you get it? This is false doctrine. You can easily spot that one out, right? It's false doctrine. It's false doctrine. How you tell me that? Cool, nice, that is true. It's false doctrine. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God.
Amen. 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 Let's look at verses 4. And when they had come to Jerusalem, they were received by the church and the apostles and the elders, and reported all the things that God has done with them. But some of the sect of the Pharisees who believed. Now, they had some sect of Pharisees
who believed.
Hallelujah. So they were part of those in Jerusalem. He said, some of the sect of the Pharisees who believe rose up saying, it is necessary to circumcise them. It is necessary to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. Did you get that?
This one looks a bit more silent. He said, okay, fine. They should be circumcised, even if circumcision is not the way, but no, tell them to keep the law of Moses. You know that? They should believe. They should circumcise. It's good, it's acceptable, right? But tell them to keep the law of Moses. Did you see that? Another addition. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. But we know from scriptures that it is only faith in the resurrection of Christ that saves a man. But these guys now brought in their culture because they were Jews. They brought in their culture into the world, into the preaching of scriptures. Are you hearing me? Amen. So what this will do, what such kind of method will do, it will bet false brethren. Are you following me? To bet false brethren.
They begin to pervert things.
Amen. Amen. I said we will look at this more for so. We're just throwing much more light into it. Glory to God. Glory to God.
Are we sleeping? Glory to God. Amen. When we begin to look at the revelation of God, it's part of what we're also going to look at too. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Look at that 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You know, before we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12,
see, the decision, the final decision of the church in Jerusalem, we'll get to look at all these things as we progress in the church and the local church. No, the final decision of the church in Jerusalem in this act 15, if you look at it, we'll get to see together that they didn't actually resolve the issue properly. The issue was not properly dealt with. And we could actually permit that because, you know, the church was still in its formative stage. Do you know that? So they are saying they are learning as the pastor. Do you know that? They are learning as the pastor and the lead people. But you know, this same set of people, because of this issue unresolved, was the reason why in Acts 21 they came for Paul. So the same set of people that still came to fight Paul. In fact, that they shouted that Paul should be arrested and killed and be held there and be headed. Do you understand? Amen. Amen. Glory to God.
Glory to God. Look at that 1 Corinthians chapter 14. I mean chapter 15 rather. 1 Corinthians 15. First Corinthians 15. Look at verse 12. He said, now, if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? Hallelujah. But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. Did you see that? So they went, you know, even Paul showed us later on, he now went to show some people that will not say the resurrection is past. You understand? Just people trying to take things one step ahead, trying to ask, no, stop there. Hallelujah. Just stop there. You know, it is, when you kind of teach there's no resurrection from the dead, you could trace where that is coming from. Hallelujah. You trace it to the fact that people are bringing their self-knowledge in the world to explain scriptures. You know, Jesus was also confronted with something like this too. Hallelujah. When they came to meet him and they asked him concerning the resurrection from the dead. So those are those sect of people that are now, they are now preaching that there is no resurrection from the dead. Amen. The Sadducees and the Pharisees, there is no resurrection from the dead. And it has crept into the church. Glory to God. So what such kind of message would do is to send false believers. False brethren.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Jesus plus jazz. Have you not heard people say that?
Jesus plus jazz. False. Amen. Amen. So, you know, we will critically analyze this. Glory to God. We'll critically analyze it. So what saves is faith in the gospel alone. No addition. He is not Yahoo plus.
There's no plus. It's faith in the gospel of Christ. And what is the gospel? Jesus rose from the dead.
Amen. Amen. Glory to God.
Jesus rose from the dead. I believe that our resurrection is the indwelling of the Holy Ghost. I believe that our resurrection is the forgiveness of sin. I believe. Hallelujah. I believe that our resurrection is eternal life. I believe it.
Amen. That's what saves. That's what saves. Glory to God. Amen. What Christ has done is what saves a man. So we said that resurrection. We said that last time.
That resurrection. Looking at Matthew 16, he said, "I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven." Said, that resurrection gave us what? Access. Glory to God. Right. So we receive access by reason of that resurrection.
Or by reason of the resurrection,
not that resurrection. That's wrong. By reason of the resurrection of the believers, hallelujah, we receive access. And we say that access is what? Authority. So we receive authority. The authority of Christ is with the believer. The authority of Christ is with the believer. The authority of the Christ, I mean, the authority of Christ is now the believer's authority. Do you understand me? The authority of Christ is what we have as the believer's authority.
Glory to God. What is authority? Is the word exousia.
The word exousia. It implies a legal right. A legal right to exercise power. I heard that from Kenneth Higgins. Authority is the legal right to exercise power. So we can say in the new birth, what we receive is legal right.
Amen. Amen.
So, since we have the authority of Christ, since we have the legal rights of Christ, Satan has no authority over the believer. We saw that last week. Satan has no authority over the believer. Satan has no authority over the believer. Why? First of all, Ephesians chapter 1, it says Christ is seated far above principalities and power. Chapter 2, it says we are seated together with him in the heavenly place. Hallelujah. So, the authority of Christ is the highest form of authority that there is in the universe. That's what it says. It's the highest form of authority that there is in the universe. So, that's what we have.
That's what we have. Amen. Amen. So the believer has, or Satan has no authority over the believer. When I say authority over the believer, he has no authority over anything that has the name of the believer on it. Not just a Christian life. No. Anything that has your name written over it, Satan has no authority over it. Satan has no authority over the things that have to do with you. He has no authority. To come here, you are bishop, he has no authority. To come here, the thing that concerns you, concerns your name. Satan has got no authority. Satan can only exercise his authority over those who are in his kingdom. You know that. Why? Those who are in his kingdom. Ephesians 2. Look at Ephesians 2 quickly. Ephesians 2. Verse 2. On top of verse 1. And you, he made alive, who were once dead in trespass and in sins, in which you once walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now walks in the sons of disobedience. You see that? The spirit who now walks in the sons of disobedience. So a man who is not born again is still under the dominion of darkness. He's still under the influence, or he's still under the kingdom of Satan. Colossians chapter 2 verse 13 says, "He has delivered us from the kingdom of darkness." So there is a kingdom of darkness. And who loves there? Satan loves there. And where is the kingdom of darkness? Some people say, Satan, the kingdom of darkness is under. You know, have you ever seen do that? The heaven is up, Satan is down. The kingdom of darkness is on that, is on the floor. There's only two joke we used to, in fact, there's only two childhood nonsense we usually have there. If I'm eating the snake and fall to the ground, we say Satan don't eat that. Yeah, no, no. We believe Satan is anything ground is Satan. Hallelujah. No. The kingdom of darkness is not, you know, I was there, someone said they've discovered hellfire is on the floor. You know, it's lack of proper theology. Hallelujah. Lack of proper theology. Glory to God. When you understand scripture, you discover that the kingdom of darkness is in the heart of man. Are you hearing me? The kingdom of darkness is in man. Yeah, it's in man. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. So, Satan will exercise his authority on those who are in his kingdom. In his kingdom is the kingdom of darkness. So, we can say, any man that is not born again, any man who is not born again is under the kingdom of Satan, is in the kingdom of darkness. There is no trying to paint it. I hear you. Once a man is not born again, he's under the dominion, the kingdom of darkness. If you like, let him be a good person, let him be good and or star. Like a, he is under the kingdom of Satan. No, don't paint it. You know Jesus Christ spoke to the Pharisees. He called Satan their father. Why he called Satan their father? It's not, you know, there's no sugar coating. You are not trying to coat it good. No. This is the reality. A man who is not born again is under the dominion of Satan.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. Okay. And we saw that last time. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. I mean 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. It says the God of this world has blinded their mind. So that is where the oppression of Satan is. You know that? Where is the oppression of Satan? In the minds of them who believe not. How our scripture teaches us. Amen. Amen. It is the minds of the man who does not believe. Glory to God. Glory to God. So when a man is born again, he's not under the hold of Satan. He's no longer, he's not under the authority of Satan. No, that means he has been translated to the kingdom of the Son. He has been translated to the kingdom of light. Hallelujah. The authority of Christ. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But we said something last week. We said as believers, we can give Satan a right. And that's what scripture teaches us. That we can give Satan an access. Listen. He doesn't have authority over you. Listen. He doesn't have authority over you or anything that concerns the believer. But the believer can give him access. He has no legal rights over anything that has to do with the believer. But the believer can grant him access. Ephesians. Or before we look at Ephesians, before we get to Ephesians, you know, we can give him access. The believer can give him access. And that is why Paul would say we are not ignorant about his divinity. Paul would say we are not ignorant about his divinity. 2 Corinthians 2:11. We are not ignorant about his divinity. When he says his divinity, it means we are not ignorant of his operation, his activities. Hallelujah. We are not ignorant of his devices. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And what is his activities? 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter 5. Look at 1 Peter 5 quickly. 1 Peter 5 verse 8. He says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, not he calls his adversary. The adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Do you see that? Your adversary, the devil, walks like a roaring lion. He calls him adversary. The word devil is on the Greek word diabolos. Where we'll get the word, where we'll have the word diabolic from. One who will use trick, who will use schemes to try to get at you. Jonathan, and for Peter says he's like a roaring lion. Walking about. Doing what? Looking for opportunities. So he will use his schemes, he will use his maneuver just to get at you. Hallelujah. Just to get at you. But you know what? He does not have the legal right over you or anything that concerns you. He does not have the legal right over you or anything that concerns you. That has your name on it. Do you get that? He has no legal right. It's just like I'll use an example that Pastor Shego gave. It's just like a man who is stuck in traffic, like the traffic that helped me down last week. You know, at that point I felt like just turning my car to a plane and just fly. Then I was like, just fly. But you know, I want to fly, but I cannot fly. Do you understand? I cannot fly. I have to stay in that traffic for 4 hours. I have to stay. Hallelujah. How to stay? The same way to Satan. He does not have legal rights. Does he want to have rights over you? Yes, but he cannot. Glory to God. He cannot. He doesn't. Because you are not under the kingdom of darkness. Did you get that? Glory to God. But we can give him opportunities. So, Peter shows us that he's like a royal lion. He goes about. That's how he goes about. And what does he go about doing? Look at that verse 8 again, into 9. Seeking whom he may devour. Going about seeking whom he may devour. A translation would say seeking for opportunities. Do you understand me? He's looking for opportunities. Opportunities. So he's looking for who will give him access. Who will allow him
But he doesn't have the right to. Except you allow.
Are you following me? Are you following me? Glory to God. But in verse 9, Peter now says, resist him steadfast in your faith. I like that. Did you see that? Inasmuch as he goes all around, he says, but you resist him how? Steadfast in your faith. And what will he do? Knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood now in the world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Resist him steadfast in the faith. Ephesians chapter 4, quickly. Look at what Paul would say. Ephesians 4, 28. Oh, sorry, 27. It says, do not give place to the devil.
Do not give place to the devil. Give the devil no place. Hallelujah.
So, how would you give him no place? It says, resist the devil. Steadfast. How often should you resist him? Steadfast in the faith. Did you see that?
Look at what he says there. Who was Peter writing to? Write to Brendan, right? Who was Paul writing to? Brethren. We look at James. Let's see James 2. Let's see James.
James 4. James 4. Verse 17. Sorry, verse 7 rather. Why am I calling 17? He said, therefore, submit to God. He said, resist the devil and he will flee from you.
This is that. And he will do what? He will flee from you. Very important, very vital for the believer.
Resist the devil and he will flee from you.
So, what he shows us is that, listen, the believer has, okay, before I look at it, James also wrote to the believers, right? Right? Now, or should I say believers?
Okay.
I've actually put myself in the pit now.
Okay, I take back that last word. I take it back.
Yes, I believe I take it back.
I take it back. Now, what I meant to say was, it was not writing to the pastors. Okay, now what we are driving at is for you to see that whose responsibility is it to resist the devil?
My responsibility, right? Your responsibility is not your pastor's responsibility too. Because the believer has the authority of Christ. You know, and that is why it's funny when you see people say they are going for deliverance section to cap out the devil. Yeah, to cap out the devil. It's funny. Glory to God. It's funny. See, I'm going for deliverance section, I want to cast out the devil. Pastor, and that the pastor is done casting out the devil. Does that mean the devil will not come? One of the scripture teaching says resisting steadfast in the faith. Right? So, without what Stephen means, you must always do it constantly and consistently. So, if that is all I must do constantly and consistently, and I say I need a pastor, that means I must have the pastor all around me every time. Hallelujah. But it's my responsibility to keep the devil far from me. Glory to God. It's my responsibility to keep him far from me.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. So I can keep the devil running from me. Glory to God.
Did you also notice something? From all the scriptures we read, did you also notice that the Bible didn't say fight the devil? Did you notice that? I don't want to remember that we can't. and they fight the devil. They are only playing and winding away time. Scripture doesn't teach us to fight the devil. He said we should resist him. Glory to God.
Hallelujah. But it's not to resist him. So we resist him daily. It is our responsibility. It's not God's responsibility to resist the devil for us. No. No. Hallelujah. I showed us something last time that the scripture showed us, Hebrews 2 verse 14 makes us see that Satan was stripped of all his power by the death of Jesus. Right? By the death of Jesus, he was stripped of all his power. So God had stripped Satan of all his power, of all his authorities. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And how did he do it? The indwelling of the Holy Ghost. Think about that. The indwelling of the Holy Ghost. The resurrection. He said that being stripped of all his authority. Amen. Amen. So in that light, God has done all that there is to be done for us. So we resist the devil. Do you get that? Our responsibility is to resist the devil. Resist him and he will flee. That's our responsibility. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And scripture makes us see how we can do it. How we can keep the devil far from us. How we can resist him. How we can keep him far from us. From 1 Peter, he said, be sober, be vigilant. Be vigilant. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 9. Be sober, be vigilant. Be sober, be vigilant. When it says be sober, what does it mean? When it says be sober, what does it mean? Be sober here means, it implies to be serious minded. To be serious minded. Be sober. Be serious minded. Be vigilant. Be watchful. So as a believer, I must be serious-minded. And I must be watchful. I must be serious-minded. I must be serious-minded on how I give out information. I must be serious-minded with things that concerns me. I must be serious-minded. Glory to God. But how I disseminate information. Glory to God. Because Satan will only know anything about you based on information. Information you let out. Amen. Amen. Are you following me? This is information you let out. You know, there are some people who believe that Satan is omnipresent and omniscient. They believe Satan knows everything. And everything. No. Tell us that. No. No. I am no. Satan is everywhere. Satan is omniscient. So when I mean omniscient, he knows what is in my mind. Tell us that. Satan knows what is in my mind. But I am. No. I hear me, no. So Satan just knows things concerning me. No, Satan doesn't. Hallelujah. Satan knows everything. No. He doesn't know your thoughts. He doesn't know everything. That's the wrong assumption. Hallelujah. It's the wrong assumption. Some people think Satan is everywhere at every time, at the same time. No. 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 Satan, will be found where? In his kingdom. And where is his kingdom? Man. Whose man? The man who is not born again. But sir, if there are four people, I won't answer all the questions. Hallelujah. But sir, does it mean that Satan carries out the operation through his agent? Who are his agents? Demons. And where would they be found? Man. Shobo.
shake your head. Amen. Amen. Because he cannot be in everybody at every time. Can you follow me? Can you hear me? Eh?
Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. So, Satan will get to know things about me based on how I let it out. How I let it out. So, how I let information out will know, okay,
Satan will get to know things about me how I let, or if I let him know. Let me put it like that. He will get to know things about me if I let him know.
And how will I let him know? The information I give out to people.
Does it mean that we should not talk in the room? We'll get there. Who will get there? Hallelujah. That's what we are going to. Amen.
That's it, I will not.
Some people all their lives. If you open that to God, you know their life is. Tell me that on my way to Manuma again. On my way to Oshodi. Your life is there. And tell me that everybody, how body, everything is there. Everybody is there. Tomorrow I'll be going to repeat it there. You know, your life is there. On my way back from school next tomorrow. There. Your life is there. Some people know, they have, some people have friends around them who they discuss things that pertain to their life and they are not believers. You know, that is more of a risk. The amount of people that are not born again, that are around you, tells how you, how should I put it? It tells, let me put it, I'm trying to put it in a better way. So that I don't get questions tomorrow. But you know, there are a lot of people you have around you that are not born again. Tell the chances you have of Satan getting to know things about you. Hallelujah. Is that serious? In fact, there are a lot of people you have around you. Maybe they are now spirit, okay. Maybe they are now believers, for example. But the people around them are so scrupulous or unborn again, and those guys know how to talk. He tells, do you understand what I'm going to? Satan will get to know information about you based on who you saw that is not a believer. We're going to see that. We're going to look at that from the scriptures.
Hallelujah. We're going to look at that from the scriptures.
We'll see. So that is why, you know, Paul would say, evil communication corrupts good manners. Right? He said, what communication has light to darkness? Sorry, that is what I wanted to quote. He said, what communication has light to darkness? Do you get that? That is why in scriptures we are told not to have association with them that are not born again. Do you understand? You reduce the influence of the... I'm trying to look for that word. That right word.
Okay. You reduce the risk of...
The reach of Satan close around you by reducing the amount of friends you have or the amount of people you have that are not born again. And that is why Pastor Shepard will say your being born again, one of the proof of your being born again is the fact that your friends that are not born again, one of the proofs of your being born again is the fact that your friends will change over time. Your friends will change. Just that your friends will change. All your friends change, it shows that you are going spiritually. Do you understand? Yeah. Glory to God. I remember them in school. Everybody that was close to me as friends, in my secondary school, everybody that was close to me as friends left. So this was not done pastor. Do you understand? That not done pastor. It was like looking like mockery, but it was not mockery. I made up my mind for it. You know, so they all left. I lost everything, all my friends, by standing to preach. and now made it constant. Then when I was in Jeswan, I could have a Muslim guy. My house is M4. School is M4 secondary school. I can walk, but I'll be waiting for drop. My father does not have time. I'm waiting for drop. Somebody takes me to school and brings me back, and my father does not know. But the moment I began to preach, everybody left. Everybody left. Amen. Amen. Mm-hmm.
Glory to God.
Glory to God. Everybody. You see, it's very important.
Glory to God. So, I have something here. And it's like, for you to know. He said, don't you know that Satan through his demons have in their dominion men who are not born again? That is what I have in my notes. Say, don't you know that Satan through his demons have in their dominion men who are not born again?
You need to know that. Hallelujah. So if information about my plan, so you put in, you not see the risk you have discussing your plans with somebody who is not born again? With a non-spiritual person. Glory to God.
Hallelujah. Because Satan will be revealed in men's actions. Men's actions. Men's thoughts. Men's conduct. Satan will be revealed in men's actions. Look at Jesus to Peter. Hallelujah. Look at Jesus' rebuke to Peter.
Hallelujah. Satan will be seen in men's actions.
Glory to God. Glory to God.
Satan will be seen in men's actions. Look at also Jesus' temptation. The 40 days. Is it 40 days now? 40 days, right?
I forget. Yes, it's 40 days. Jesus has said for 40 days. Now, look at Jesus' temptation. You know, that temptation,
that thing that happened within that story of the temptation, you know that it was only Jesus that could have told that story. You know that? It's only Jesus that could have told that story. Right? Because the church were not there. If the church were not there, then the temple cannot be there. Did you understand? So how did they now write it? Jesus would have told it to them in that 40 days of his teaching them. Are you hearing me? He would have told them
what happened in,
or you would have told them the story of that temptation. Do you understand? And why would he have told them that story of the temptation? Is that they would know this is how Satan operates. Do you understand? Glory to God. I know that temptation he gave, those temptations that he gave, or the temptations that he gave are three. You know, we could actually summarize it to be all, we said this last day, right? I said it last day. We could summarize it to be all that Jesus Christ went through in his incarnation, in his earthly work. Yes, ma'am. Let's look at something. Look at Matthew 16.
Or, you know, we could see that all Jesus Christ went through during his incarnation.
When we were discussing
temptations, trials and persecutions, I thought it there now. Matthew 16, but let's just look at it again. Let's still look at it again. Matthew 16. Hey, Matthew 16. Look at verse 1. Let's see verse 1 now. Okay, yeah. Then these Pharisees and Sadducees came testing him, asking that he would show them a sign from heaven. What were they doing?
They were testing him. They were tempting him to do what? Show them a sign from heaven.
Can this be a summary of turn stone to bread?
Show us a sign from heaven. Do a miracle for us. Do you understand? Are you following me?
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Are you following me?
Would that be a solution for that? Excuse me. Because as it were, all the temptations of Jesus were carried out by men. Did you get that? So, what was recorded within that 40 days would be a summary of what Jesus will go through in his incarnation. Or went through in the incarnation. Look at Matthew 20.
Matthew 22 rather, verse 18. Let's look at something else. Matthew 22 verse 18. Can you see verse 18? But Jesus perceived their wickedness. And he said, why do you test me, you hypocrite? Old King James said, why do you tempt me? He said, you hypocrite. Look at verse 35. And one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, teacher, what is the great commandment of the Lord? Did you see that? So, if you look at Jesus' incarnation, you discover that all the temptation of Jesus was carried out by who? By men. Then the big one, when Peter in Matthew 16 came and rebuked him, what did he tell him? He said, get thee behind me, Satan. Get thee behind me, Satan. That should have occurred, or that should have sounded, that before a Bible student, that should ring a bell. Because that should take you back to that temptation when he said, get thee behind me, Satan, right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As it were, all those temptations were carried out by him. Are you following me? So Jesus' temptation, or all the temptations of Jesus in his incarnation, were carried out by men. So Jesus would not tell that story of the 40 days in the wilderness so that they would see that they will see the oppression or how Satan carries out his oppression is in man. Are you following me? Are you following me?
Glory to God. Hallelujah.
So what Jesus is trying to tell them is that all his temptations,
Satan is veiled in them. Satan is veiled in those temptations. If you're veiled, you will see Satan. So that was what he told them. Are you following me? That's what he told them. The same way the story of the brother on the cross with him. You know, I said we can't call that guy a thief on the cross. He's a brother. You understand? He cannot, that story would have only been told by Jesus. The same thing, the story of the woman by the well can only be told by him. Because the rest of the disciples were not there. You understand me?
Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So if I allow my plans and information about me, or if I allow plans and information about me get to the man who is not born again, Satan gets to know it. Because that man who is not born again is under the kingdom of darkness. Are you following me? Glory to God. Glory to God. So I must learn that as a virtue, or I must learn that to mind what I say to people, to mind what I say, information about me that I let out to people who are not born again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And also, I will also know that my plans, I should learn to discuss my plans with spirit-filled men.
Much more, we'll get to see this as we discuss the church and the local church. Much more with my leaders in the local church.
Are you hearing me? Much more with my leaders in the local church. So I must let them discuss my plan with spirit-filled men. Look at Mary.
Mary was told she was going to carry the Savior, Savior of the world.
She didn't jump into social media.
I'm pregnant now. Pregnant for the Holy Ghost. Pregnant for the Holy Ghost. Even though there's some people in our age and our time, that an angel appeared for and said, you carry the Savior.
First thing I will hear is Snapchat.
The Bible will say, angel, wait, we let you Snapchat. I'm with an angel right now.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Or they'll start to do TikTok. No. Hallelujah. Look at Mary. When she was told she was to carry the Savior, she didn't throw it into social media. Hallelujah. Look at Luke 2 verse 11.
Let's see Mary's character.
What is her character? Like Luke 2 11. Sorry, 19, not 11. 11 was when she was told. Look at verse 19. But Mary kept all these sayings and pondered on them in her heart.
She kept them where? In her heart. So when she was to let it out, who did she let it out to? Elizabeth, who now prophesied. Did you get that? Are you following me? She let it out to Joseph. I don't believe that. She didn't go around. I'm carrying the Savior now. Woo!
No.
Hallelujah.
You see, I heard this in a major...
See, there was a coup that was planned in Nigeria. That was not successful. And that coup, what? Was it Nigeria again? Let me think. Should I be either in Nigeria or one of these African countries? But yes, it's Nigeria. It's Nigeria. That coup was also there. You know why? Because of a woman. Yes, ma'am. Because of a woman. The other one, they planned the coup. They are talking by tomorrow as this thing is happening. You know, as in when it will be happening, the wife of the man will just scale out. You tell us that you will leave the country, you go through this border. You tell us that. So when everything is settled, you come back and then you will be head of state and Aisha. And if she says his name, sorry, and the wife of the president, first lady. And this lady, and the wife are then going about telling all her friends. Very soon I'll become first lady.
I will confess.
That was how the authorities knew that they would help the wife. And that was how they left. That was how the secret of that coup was leaked. And the coup never happened.
Because of someone that cannot keep her mouth shut.
Are you hearing me? Because someone that cannot keep her mouth shut. Satan will eventually know. Her wife will eventually know. Because you let it out to someone who is not born again. That man is in his kingdom.
You understand? So that's why Peter said you should be sober. Be serious minded. And then get serious. Ah.
You got a job, LinkedIn new. You got a job, Facebook new. You got, yes now. He invested in C3. You were paid up, Facebook new. Your life is known. See, let me tell you something about, I also heard
another one. A lady that
wanted to, she applied for a job. She got the job. I mean, she was going for final interview. What? And she was going for final interview. When she entered, finally, entered for the interview. The interviewer, the head of the interview already was on her Instagram page.
Do you know that? Already on our Instagram page. Lady sat down. He now told the lady, are you not this person on this Instagram page? He said, yes. He said, we will not employ you because of your beliefs and your sexual act. As soon as the head of this interview said that, bagger, everybody in the interview before, carried, everybody in the panel carried their phone and opened Instagram. And the lady was asked to go. As the lady was going, and she visited the Instagram page. She lost that job because of her. All her information was let out. Are you hearing me? Glory to God. Glory to God. See, some things that some people, some believers will call persecution. Well, not really persecution, I just call sometimes have some people's carelessness. Carelessness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For about 4,000 years plus. You see, you must understand the fact that even God keeps secret. For about 4,000 years plus, the prophets were speaking about Christ's coming, right? They said it openly. They said it. You know, but yet Satan didn't know. Are you hearing me? Hallelujah. They spoke about Jesus, but yet when Jesus was born, Satan didn't know. Satan didn't know. Paul said, if they had known, they would have crucified the Lord of glory. They didn't know. They didn't know. Satan didn't know. Satan didn't. They didn't know. 4,000 years or so. Glory to God. If I asked God, will you have redeemed man? God will say yes. We have said man, yes. How would you save man? We tell you to watch, wait and see. But there will be forgiveness on this, yes. God, will you use cross? Wait and see. Yes now. Will you use cross? Wait and see. Yes now. The information that I have been able to watch, hey. If Satan had known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you know when Jesus was born, Satan didn't know Jesus was born. Satan didn't know that the Savior was born. He didn't know. For 9 months, Mary carried Jesus, the Savior, and Satan didn't know. He didn't know. Because he wouldn't know when someone in his kingdom is aware. Are you following me? Satan wouldn't know. He didn't know. Jesus was born in a manger. Satan didn't know Jesus was born. Because when Jesus was two years, you know some people thought when Jesus was born, that was when he was born in the manger, that was when the white men came. No, the white men didn't come when he was in the manger. They met him at home. And how you would know Jesus was two was because Herod asked that children from two below should be killed. So Jesus was around that age too. You understand? So, until Jesus was two, even Satan didn't know that the Savior was in the world. What if Mary's character, she would keep them in her heart, she kept them in her heart and pondered over it. Are you following me? Are you following me? They don't even know the same. You know, you now go for Mahadiamity. And they are talking, they say, ah! You know, I'll be my Savior. You see your life.
Glory to God. Glory to God.
You know. But when the shepherd came into Jerusalem, when they came into the land, brother,
better still.
Hallelujah. Better still. Before I say the word that, oh, man of God, Let's take guidance. Hallelujah. So when they came into the land, you know, and they needed to see the Savior, they went to who? They went to who? Herod. Because why did they go to Herod? Because Herod was the king at that time. And the information they had was that the king is born. So they went to Herod and they said to Herod what the angel told them. Do you get that? Now, question is, Herod became furious. Herod was angry. Why was he angry? Because Herod now knows Satan is there. That is just the reason for his anger. Is Satan reacting to Herod? Do you understand? Is Satan's reaction to Herod? Because tell me how Herod. Around that age, he will be around 60, in his 60s. So why will he be angry? At least the child that is born will grow up first before he takes over your position, at least. But he was angry because that is Satan's reaction. Do you understand? So he ordered that children from two below should be killed. But before that took place, God told Mary and Joseph to take the child to where? To where? To Egypt. Why? Because at that material point in time, we can say Satan was not in Egypt. Or put it this way, if they go to Egypt, Satan would not know. Because Satan cannot even recognize Jesus. Even if they put Jesus on his forehead, even if they wrote Jesus on his head, he would not have recognized that. Did you get that? You know he was not the only one answering Jesus in his days. So he said, you're like, oh, I don't know how to answer Jesus. He's not the name that was speaking after him. Jesus is in that name, Joshua. So you're not the only one. Are you following me? Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. So he ordered that 3 years from below should be killed. And Jesus was, at that material point, he was in Israel doing the ravage there. But information about Jesus in Egypt would not get to him. He would not know. So we can say at that material point in time, he was not in Egypt. Do you understand? So Satan cannot be everywhere at the same time. Satan cannot be. Do you understand that? Glory to God. Glory to God. So, Satan cannot be everywhere at the same time. He was not in Egypt. Because he didn't even know God has told Joseph to take Jesus to Egypt. He didn't even know. So you must be serious-minded and vigilant. Do you understand? As a Christian, you must be serious-minded and vigilant. You watch what you say. And who you say them to. Watch what you say and who you say them to. Amen. 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 Did you see? What is your side? God wanted Samuel to anoint a new king. He told Samuel to go away, to go to the house of Jesse. Right? Right? He told Samuel to go to the house of Jesse. Question. Samuel asked, if Saul knows, he will kill me. Was that what Samuel said? I want you to understand something as a believer. You have to be serious-minded. Hallelujah. Because if Saul knows, Satan knows. Do you understand? Hallelujah. I remember Satan had dominated Saul at that point. Saul would kill Samuel. You know the joke? If a Saul had the ability to rank a prophet, no, to hijack a prophet, he will kill Samuel if he looked at that was going to anoint the king. So then if Saul knows he's going to kill me, and what did God tell Samuel to do? Say, if you are asked where you are going, say you go and do what? Offer sacrifice.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Was that a lie? It was not a lie because he went to offer sacrifice.
But the major information was not let out. Because God, you see, you have to be serious-minded. God keeps secret too. Do you understand? You have to be serious-minded.
You have a friend that is born again that mingles with unbelievers.
You want the person. If the person does not want to change, okay, mind the information you let out to that person.
Do you understand me?
You mind the information. You mind the places you go to also. You mind the information, you mind the places you go to also. You mind the places you go to. Amen. Amen. You have just heard flash news. Saul killed Samuel. Bam! If Saul was not afraid to go after David,
you know that? He would have killed Samuel if he had known. So it tells you about the person of God.
Tell you about the person of God. When you leave what you do, you don't let out everybody. You must mind who you say things to. If I have to discuss my plan, I will discuss it with my pastor. I will discuss it with a spirit-filled brother. I must discuss it with my leader in the church. Before I even tell it to my father or my mother. It's not a joke. I heard the story of a lady who was supposed to write an exam. Listen. Was supposed to write an exam. And in going to write the exam, she was delayed. Either traffic or something like that. So she missed the exam. She was already, what should I do? Not knowing that her friend, had gone to meet the lecturer and said, we have a friend who was not here due to one thing or the other. So the lecturer was already saying, okay, we'll do a makeup exam for her. Do you understand? But because of the fact that she was just so much not happy, her missed the exam, she called her mother. Listen, she called her mother. See, oh, hey, it has happened. I missed my exam. Oh my God. Hey, it looks as if I'm going to have an extra year. Ooh, you know? And the mother knows the dean. Mother carried phone and called dean. Automatically, dean is now where she did not write exam. At that point, the lecturer could not help out. Because they already knew that she cannot write the exam. You know that? The lecturer had already planned to do what? To have the exam written for her specially. Do you understand me? But because she has involved someone, has involved someone who she's not supposed to involve, the whole thing was let out. I said that so that you will know that it's not every time you just carry food. Money, look, discuss with the spirit-filled person. Discuss. I'm not saying discuss with your parents is wrong. I didn't say that. It's good. Discuss with them, but you know, make sure you have discussed with your pastor. Let the what discuss with your parents come from your pastor. You know you'll be more guided. Because your pastor has the Holy Ghost. Are you hearing? Your pastor has the Holy Ghost. Your pastor is spirit-filled. Your pastor will give you information, will give you direction in the right way. You understand? Aha! Very important.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Glory to God.
I want to say something off the record. Maybe teaching
the church and the local church. I'm going there. You can't say your mind. You're not permitted. I've been told like this. My mind, if I don't say things, my heart will be heavy. Let it blow. Let it blow. For keep it. I don't know. He's doing it somehow. He's doing it. Oh God, let your heart blow.
But this information, keep it.
Everything you see is on WhatsApp status. They tell you, you put in, they tell you, pour, you put in your pour. That's what if I, see, let me tell you something. The way I chat with people is, I know what I will say to you when I see your post. Yes, now, that's what people, He didn't get permission. There was someone like that. He didn't get permission. He just carried my conversation with him and put on his status. Dosa. Ah! I called and I said, okay. You know you won't have the same as thank you. He don't play this. When your man can't see your name, I don't care. From that day, I remind the information I let out to him. Let me save myself. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. Amen.
We'll begin to round off soon. Glory to God.
How do I resist the devil? By keeping a sober and a vigilant life. A serious minded, watchful life.
Be careful what you post on social media. Be careful. We don't do it here. That I've seen that it has reduced drastically, and
in fact, let's keep it up. But don't allow anything to make you your life will not be on social media. You are in Siva social media. You are entering church, social media. Gates, social media. When baby Sophia was born, that day she was born, I was seeing my baby. I'm not coming. The next thing, I just saw it on social media. Can you be faster than the father? The father is not the mother to come up on theater. But I'm thinking that. Remove it carefully. Even at that, as a lapper, I'm not even called Pastor Sophia.
Oh, Sophia is in my mouth today. Pastor Wisdom, rather. I've not called Pastor Wisdom.
I've not called my pastor. I'm not going to say, yeah, how? Amen.
We did a little get together to name, to give her a name.
Before those that came got to be on social media status. Even me. You know that? There are some things you need to use. The information, see, sometimes I will tell
some of our pastors that I want to post this and this and this. And they get more to see me post it again. Just because I just look at it. Is this information vital now? You understand? And also I just learned to follow the inward business much more. So if I'm not prompted to, I just
is it that I don't have what to do? If I start to post, I have plenty. But you know, there's not something about just there's time. You understand? There's time. No rush. No rush. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
But the ones you know you have to rush, you rush. Like back and loss, you rush.
Pussy! Kill it out! Kill it out! Kill it out! Like I'm laughing those who are in Arsenal now.
All they like is London news, London news, London news.
They will never...
Don't worry.
London news!
Now they go for William, London news. And they want to progress.
You see, I was also told to tell someone that the owner of Arsenal, he has an owner, the owner of Arsenal is an Igbo man or a Nigerian. They like Tokumbo. Go for new, brand new.
They will not go. Look at Chelsea now, we are brand new.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen.
So, how do I resist the devil? Ephesians 6. How do I resist the devil?
Ephesians 6. Verses 6 to 4. It says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Oh, sorry, I read verse 17. Verses 6. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. You see that? And take the helmet of salvation. That is the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God.
Hallelujah. So I will resist the devil steadfastly in the faith with my words. You see that? With my words. Are you following me? So I will answer that question now.
Does it mean I should be doing No.
With my words I will resist the devil.
Hallelujah. Now we're there. So I must keep up with the right confession.
With the right confession. That word confession is from the Greek word homologia. So we have homologia service. Homologia. The word homologia, you know, that word homologia,
you know that word logia,
is where we have the word, where we have to speak. You know that? To speak.
So, is what we have, before we look at our homologia, we have what we call monologue.
You know, that word homologia is where we have the word homologue. You know that? Homologue. So we have monologue.
Monologue means one person is speaking. One person, so that is monologue, one person. You have dialogue, two people talking, right? So we have homologue, which is the word homologia.
It means to say in agreement, saying words in agreement. Homologia, saying words in agreement. So Paul says, he calls it the shield of faith. The sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit. So we keep up.
We keep up our confession of faith. We speak spirit-filled words. We don't speak fear. We don't speak doubt. We don't speak...
We don't speak fear. We don't speak doubt.
We don't speak defeat. We don't speak confusion. I'm confused now.
No. It's not an addition. Hallelujah. We speak words in agreement. I'm born of God. I have the life of God. I know what to do. Pata. Hallelujah. Even if it looks as if the decisions are many, you just need to take the right decision. And it looks as if things are not good. But you just say, no, I'm not confused. I'm born of God. Hallelujah. I'm not confused. I'm born of God. That is the reality of me. Hallelujah. That's the reality of me. I'm born of God. I'm born of God. I'm born of God. I'm not confused. Hallelujah. You don't speak fear. You don't speak fear. I'm afraid. How? I don't speak fear. I take it off my vision. Amen. 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 I don't speak fear. I'm born of God. Hallelujah. So I'll keep up with the right confessions. I'll keep up with the right confessions. The confessions of faith. The confession of faith. I will keep up with it. Amen. Amen. You know that word homologia is where we go. You find that word homologia in Romans 10. But it says, with confession. So, you are saying in agreement with what you believe. Saying in agreement with what you believe. The word scripture says concerning you. You say it in agreement. You say it with agreement. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. There's no fear. There's no fear. Hallelujah. I don't speak defeat. No, I don't speak defeat. I don't speak defeat. I don't speak defeat. Amen. 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 I keep up. The right confession.
Right confession.
I tell my plans with spirit-filled men. I'm sober. I'm vigilant. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Let's pray.